You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz. Wayne.
Hey, how you doing, Bruce? Everybody, if you're on today, Memorial Weekend, and we always want to remember what a sports for the ones that never came back.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And to begin that, I lost a brother-in-law in Vietnam.
Wow, okay.
Sniper fire there in the central wetlands, and I'll never forget that. That was a sad time when I was about 13. But, you know, boy, when the taps are played, that's when everybody loses it. And, Bruce, I just gritted my teeth, never dropped a tear. But I dealt with it later, and I did deal with it. Death is part of life. We all accept that. We know it. Our life here is just a short time. And I just came back from 2 weeks of being in Illinois with family. My reason for getting up there so fast was my sister's niece, 26 years old, committed suicide. And my sister, when they finally found out what happened, I mean, she couldn't be located for about 10 days.
I read that police report about how they, the river.
It was just the best write-up I had seen. But when they found her and she had committed suicide, my sister needed me. My sister, Becky, is a rock. She's one of those people in social services that I could not do what she does. You know, she is, and Abigail was the same. Abigail, everybody loved her. I found out later, I guess she had mental health problems. And then while I was there, and we had her funeral on Wednesday, and the church was packed. Young girl, 26 years old, and all the lives she touched. I wish she could have understood that. You know, she touched, made a difference in a lot of people's lives. But there was a lot of singing going on. It was biracial. So it was awesome.
Okay.
That was Wednesday.
Okay.
Wow. Monday and Thursday and Friday, went to see my brother in the hospital and the nursing homes that he was back and forth at because he was filling up with liquid. And I got a big smile from him, and he told a couple jokes that they're just awful. I mean, they're not dirty jokes. They're just he couldn't tell a joke to save his life ever. It would last for 6 days, and it was just awful, but he thought it was funny. But he was smiling, but he was at peace with God. And Saturday morning, he passed away.
Oh, wow.
62 years of age. But Brucey, you know, it goes to show what you're a specialist in, and that's addiction. He was an alcoholic. Never stopped it. My brother never smoked. I always thought he was the healthiest one in the family. He would chew a little bit of that stuff you put between your lip or something, whatever that is, when he hunted and stuff like that. But something happened to him. He got into methamphetamine a while, crack coke or whatever they call that, or crack cocaine. Or he spent time in prison. He was very addictive to that alcohol, and his liver dried up. It was like shoe leather.
Oof.
So it was, unfortunately, choices that have been made. But, you know, the old, my brother, Irvin Lee, the eldest, he has always been a very devout, good Christian man, and his wife. And Steve had accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So I accept that. And when I went in Saturday and he had just passed away, he looked so peaceful. in that bed. Now, I saw him at the funeral, and he didn't. You know what I mean? I really saw that relaxed peacefulness on his face in that bed. But there were two funerals in 1 week. And then, listen to this. So my sister's Becky, her 13-year-old dog, passed away on Sunday. So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. And Jewel loved that dog like crazy. A little old bitty teeny rat. I don't even know what it was. But, you know, dogs become family members.
And they do, yeah.
It was all just a sad week, 2 weeks up there. I'm glad to be home, and I'm so tired, I can't stay awake.
Well, I appreciate you coming on today, just because I didn't want to talk about this, because I always think it's
good. It's
real important that, you know, as coaches, we have lives too. As coaches, we endure, you know, we endure parts of life. I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind, sounds like the death of your brother was kind of either more expected or less of a surprise than the other death.
Yes, absolutely. And let me ask you, here's what I want to ask you.
Bruce. Sure.
Here's my question.
Yes, sir.
To me and to you, to God, my niece was engaged.
Mm.
Has two daughters.
Okay.
She was engaged to the, she got saved.
Oh, good.
And she was her fiance was the music director at a church. My sister said when she got baptized, she had never seen a bigger smile in her life when she came up out of that water. Her fiance prayed on their knees all the time. She was so happy, but there's something inside of her that made her commit suicide. My question is this, and this is just a question. And I don't even know if
go ahead
if it's answerable. I've got a friend that is a good friend. She's a good Christian, and her answer was very strong one way. But you know, I believe this. I mental illness, I consider kind of like an evil spirit of the devil's. It's something there that can drive us away to do the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that we're not good people. God sees in our heart. I believe this.
Absolutely.
But my, here's the area is the Bible states pretty much suicide is murder and murder is a sin.
She didn't lose her salvation by doing that.
See, I agree. See, I believe when I said to my sister, I said, Becky, she was saved. Mm-hmm. And she believed it was an evil spirit that makes us. That's always after us. And she just wasn't able to fight it anymore.
No.
When she closed her eyes on earth, I believe in my heart, she opened them in heaven. I just believe it. And I thank God, you know, people today, they say, or they've always said, why did God take her at such an early age? God takes no one. God welcomes.
Yeah, God allowed her.
Yes.
To take her life.
Yes. Yes, yes.
God allowed a lot of people, a lot of nice people died on 9/11 in those towers. A lot of Christians died there. A lot of Christians died at the Oklahoma City bombing. You know, I shouldn't say, you know what I mean? Just a lot of really nice
people.
I shouldn't say that. I'm not trying to exclude anybody. Long story short is God is omnipotent and he allows things to happen. And sometimes when it doesn't suit us, we get mad at God because we feel that he has now screwed us over. You took my daughter away from me. You did this. Hold on a minute. He may have allowed it to happen. But I would say, you know, that at that moment she felt hopeless and helpless and wanted to escape. And that's what I would say she was dealing with. I don't know if that was in the frame of clinical depression. I don't know if that was in the frame of intoxication of some sort. But
she never drank. It was just came over her.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. That's my feeling. My friend's feeling was, oh no, don't get to thinking that way. That becomes heresy.
No, that isn't. That isn't.
I agree.
It isn't. And oh my gosh, you know what? It's going to take me. Maybe next week I'll come in here with the scripture, just like. And I don't want to soil this at all, but there's, oh, well, homosexuality is an abomination, and therefore those people go to hell. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. And so I drop F-bombs from time to time and curse like a sailor from time to time. And that is a sin, right? And anyway, there's other things I do, gluttony. You know,
yeah,
me if you too. Saw my stomach, that's why I have my shirt buttoned up, because if you saw my stomach, you'd. Okay, so there's another that's another evidence of sin. And that sin is, I believe, the same in God's eyes. And so sin is sin. And I know that's not popular either. There is a heaven, there is a hell. That's not popular, but I think it is good to know that sin is sin. I don't think you have to worry about her salvation.
I don't either. And I agree. Listen, every night when I pray, and even in the day when I pray, I'm always having to ask God, hey, please forgive me. Because I did something today, you know, I ate too much, or I said, even when I was a kid, you know, and if I said when you're a kid, you say things, you know, and I would say an F-bomb when I was a kid more, but I had a conscience. And if I said the God word and all that stuff, I would right away say, please, God, please forgive me, please forgive me. I mean, even as a kid, I knew that that was not. That was a sin, but you're always asking, but that's what God's there for. What does the Bible say? How many times should we forgive our brother?
Yeah, 70 times 7 and infinity. Yeah.
Infinity. Yeah, that's right. It's just like bugs, you know, infinity and beyond.
There you go. There you go. And you know, by the same yardstick, and I hate to use, oh, well, you know, oh, I got heartburn. I'm drinking, I'm chugging down apple cider vinegar. I swear I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. Maybe 1, 2, 3 years later, go to such and such steakhouse with Wayne, let's say. And man, I have the big old steak and this and this and this, and I just overeat. And you're an unrepentant sinner. You should have turned north the first time you had that heartburn and never gone back to your sin of the steakhouse.
Yeah, that's not what it's saying.
But you know what I know, but you know what I mean?
It's the same thing.
But that holds, that you betcha. Guilty as charged. Well, why is that? Well, because we're all sinners. You know what I mean? And then anybody who says that they live in a transfigured body, then I always look at their thought life. And that's a dangerous neighborhood for a lot of these deacons and other high flyers. So anyway,
I got something else.
Yeah,
we can be pretty open here, can't we? Because again, I appreciate your thoughts and your prayers during this 2 weeks, Bruce. I really do, and I'm glad that I haven't been called on to be a minister, because that's got to be so tough.
Right.
You know, because you're dealing with that several times a week sometimes.
Right.
And you love your flock, so just like the brothers or sisters. Anyway, so here's something I want to run by you. Speaking of faith and religion. So I got another friend. Believe it or not, I got friends.
I can't believe that.
I got friends in low places. Yeah.
You got this Facebook account, but I think it's all you paid somebody.
Okay, I make it all up.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a friend, and I'm going to ask you this on levels of counseling and faith, okay?
Gotcha.
She's a good person.
Oh, boy.
She's divorced. She's a faithful church goer.
Okay.
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 She's a Christian. She has two children, boy and a girl, and she makes sure that they're with her and they go to church together, Bible studies, church camps, she's very involved.
Okay.
About a little over a year ago, when she was separated, she had a little fling for just a few minutes. She confessed that, prayed, but then about pretty close to 8 or 9 months later, that reared its head when the other party of the second part's wife was told, and then had her lose her job. Things kind of went a little awry. Then she went to the church, her church, found out, and told them. So the church called her in and sat her down. The powers to be. Which already gets me a little riled up.
Oh, yeah.
And they called her in and sat her down, and they wanted to help her. They wanted to help her get forgiveness. So she had to tell them everything. And then they put her through some counseling. They paid part of it. She paid part of it. Then they put her in some kind of a class that handles that she had to go to. And then they put her in something else or something. She was busy 5 or 6 nights a week. And now remember, she was involved with kids camps. I mean, she was quite a leader. So everybody liked her and all that. This year she gets an email that they've already got a full calendar. They don't need her at this church, at this camp.
Yeah.
So she said, wait a minute. So she went and asked him. So the powers to be said, well, we just feel you're not ready. You know, you need some more help. And that just, Bruce, yeah, thank you. I'm glad you did that because that's exactly what I did. I said, are you kidding me? If it was me, Bruce, this is where I was probably wrong. I said I would run as fast as I could. If I couldn't run, I'd fly.
Right.
To get out of there. That's called that stuff that's organized, that is, you know, she's got people judging her and not God. And God, if she asked God in a proper way and really asked him, had total forgiveness, she's forgiven already.
But even with my sex offenders, watch this now. Yeah. Even with my sex offenders, they come through treatment, they do their time, we do the polygraphs, and it's like a restoration program. Just what she went through was a restoration program. And you know what? Once they've done that, and once they've served their time, and they participate in the process, they're in the community. That's right. Molesters, pedophiles,
they're
in the community. And they're free to work whatever job they can find, etc. Now, they may be on a registry, but that's a separate issue.
Yeah.
So let me kind of do, you know, my Southern Baptist stuff. If you are in a position of leadership, if you're in the choir, you're in the youth ministry, and you're teaching stuff, and it comes to the attention of the church that you created some sort of sin south of my bad eating.
I got you.
Okay. In their eyes, and they put her on this restoration program, and she should have been restored at the end of the restoration program, right?
Yep.
And I'm not, you know, look, but man, you know, to say, oh, we don't think you're ready, and this and that, and then she may want to consider another environment, because I don't particularly like folks. Some of the things folks on my caseload have done against children. But you know what? That's not my job. My job is I'm the restoration man. That's my job. And you know what your job is in the church? You're the hospital for the spiritually ill. That's your job, right? So Sorry about that. I'm not yelling at you. I just love yelling at Wayne, y'all. I just
want I just, you know, but I guess I just feel so good about God and the faith that I have. Yeah. And what, you know, seriously, we have, when you understand, we have a loving God.
Yeah. But you know what? That's that moment where you really dig deep. And it sounds like you're digging deep because this is your friend.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, I have a relationship with God. You know what I mean? And yet he calls us to have corporate worship. He calls us to have individual prayer time and worship. Okay. But those are things of being obedient to that relationship. Right? Yeah. Not to become... Brother, there was a period in my life the church was wearing me out. I was teaching. I was this. I was that. I was doing men's ministry, anti-porn stuff. They wanted to be on the security team. They wanted me to be X, Y, and Z. They're wearing my ass out. You know what I mean? And I thought, am I a slave? Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Who is what? You know what I mean? Who's on first? Well, I understand that. Right. But man, you know, and I know that rule, what is it? 20% of the ones that make it all run in 80, anyway, in the big church realm of things. Okay. But that was supposedly a restoration program. And you know what? If they say she's not ready, then they need to say, okay, this is why you're not ready. Tell her. And then this is your restoration plan to be ready.
Here's what she said. She said, this happened over a year ago. I've already dealt with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm done. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we just found out about it a few months ago, so it's not over.
Wow.
So anyway, but that's just, it goes, it's just funny how things, funny, and I don't mean funny, ha-ha, but funny how things can work out. But I got another one for you.
All right.
I'm gonna go way off. Take a screaming left. So there's another religion that I watched a video on that this young lady, I think she's about 22, was born in to this faith. And you'd be familiar with it if I told you, because you know somebody else that, or we know somebody else.
I got you.
And she was born into it, just like that. And she, when she was a teenager, she hooked up with a guy. You know, she liked the guy. And she did the dirty deed. Okay?
Yep.
Well, when this was discovered, she was pulled in by three male elders into a room.
Oh, God.
And made to tell every detail. And that's just the beginning of what she went through. And it's just, you know, when man tries to become God.
Yeah.
It's a scary, it can sure mess people up.
Yeah.
And it's so simple. You know, that's what I was telling my sister and a few other people up there on these two funerals when I just talked with people. The darn thing is always so simple. It's just so simple. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All you have to, and then the grace and mercy of God like goes click, 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 boom. And you're forgiven and you're on your way to heaven.
You're justified.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's as simple. It's not, you know, you need to carry this and you need to lift this and you need to climb a rope in gym class and touch the ceiling seven times. No, it's simple. And that's everything that Jesus did in the New Testament. It was all simple stuff. It was just all simple.
That's right. That's right.
So when they say simplify, maybe they're saying simplify.
There you go.
But I'm I'm very comfortable, and you can tell how far this old man's growing because I just get more and more into it.
You get some degree, even you. Just kidding. You get some degree of wisdom, right?
That's right.
And you could say, I'm not the guy. I guess I was anointed with some weird wisdom about criminals, but that's it. I can't tie my shoe. I can't screw in a light bulb. I can't turn a screw. But barely. Anyhow.
Yes. I know what you mean.
But you're seeing that wisdom and you think, okay, here's my beliefs, but here's what scripture says. Here's my beliefs. And here's what these people are doing around here with these methods, these organized methods, if you will. And it's not pretty. And it's really not at all how Christ would handle the situation. Should he return to the earth and be in the room with that woman or whoever? The ladies, you know what I mean? So it just would not be dealt with in this Jewish style tribunal. Shouldn't say Jewish, but you know what I mean? This really rule bound,
law bound, Old Testament. Otherwise, outside that, Mrs. Lincoln, I really enjoyed the play.
There you go. Well, how are you dealing with the shock of the suicide?
To me, it's not as shocking. Well, it was shocking. This little girl grew up with my sister. They raised her from high chair on up. So they put her through private school, high school. She was smart as a whip.
Yep.
So, but as far as she's the only person that I know personally in my life that committed suicide. So I just dealt with it really logically. She just couldn't handle it. I can't imagine driving off of a, she drove across the lake, and there's a sportsman's club one way down and another way back up the hill, you know, for a boat dock.
Yeah.
Well, she took the way down, but she didn't take the curve. She just drove right through the little forest off the cliff.
And if it wasn't for that reader at that bridge, that license plate reader, she'd be gone today.
Yep.
They'd be having manhunts and FBI.
Yes. And we were hoping that she just did something like that, ran away for a while ago. But Becky knew that because she said she had tried it twice before. I didn't know that. So she was troubled. But I've dealt with it. It's just, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's over. My older brother, 3 years older than I am, he passed away several years ago of a heart attack. 3 years older than me. And I always, when I go to Danville, I have to go see my father's grave, my mom's, my grandmother's. My brother's in a national cemetery because there's a VA there. And it's a beautiful cemetery. I used to, right behind where we used to live. So I grew up climbing the fence and going over there shooting chipmunks. And then when I was a teenager, just go there and think because it was so quiet. I would read all the tombstones from the Civil War and World War I. But that's where my brother is. So I go see everybody's graves. And gives me, just time to think.
Danville's like Deathville.
Yeah, it sure is. Jeez. And then, of course, it is Deathville because I go by my old paper route. I had 110 customers. 7 days a week. It didn't matter. Sunday morning was the paper. Otherwise, they were all in the evening. And I mean, rain, sleet, snow, or it didn't matter. You delivered paper. 110.
There you go.
I drive down my paper. I took my daughter. Her and her son drove over and stayed for my brother's funeral, too. And that was nice. So Heidi was there, but she asked me to drive Xander around with her because I always drive around the old neighborhood. And it is just pure ghetto. It was a nice neighborhood. I grew up in a really nice and it's a railroad neighborhood because railroad was Danville. I mean, there's people, Dick Van Dyke and Jerry Van Dyke, Gene Hackman, Donald O'Connor. Those are just a couple fake names that we all know who they were that are from Danville, Illinois. So it was a thriving town in its day. Now, I noticed when I go into town, it used to be 42,000. Now it's 33. And a lot of them came out of Chicago. Chicago sent all their bad people down to Danville.
Wow. Were you in your black Yukon-ish thingy?
Oh, yeah, I was in that. Yeah, we drove around in that. That's
good. So you had the family wagon.
Yeah, I had the family wagon.
And it's good for you to be there, man. It's good. It provides support and comfort to everybody. And I know I had a funeral in 20 that I went to just being there and being there for the folks was good, and family members, and help people get their head around the death and memorialize good times and fellowship and stuff like that. And that's why we have that, I guess, ritual about getting together and all that good stuff. So anyway, well, I'm so glad that you're back and resting up, trying to get back to baseline here. I know you've been through a lot.
Bruce, I'm going to take just a minute. I didn't realize this since I got home, but I'm going to lose my battery here. I got to plug in, and my plug-in's right in the kitchen.
Okay. No worries. We'll keep the show going while Wayne is vanishing. I like that, vanishing into the kitchen. So yeah, that's ask Wayne, just that, you know, just that resilience, you know, go through repetitive losses, you know, and yet we just have to, our own strength only goes so far most of the time, you know, and that's where we have there he is, he's back.
Yeah, I'm going to plug this thing in. Oh my goodness.
That was nothing, man. So I was just saying, it's hard to get by some of these tragedies on our own strength. Oh. Sometimes we have to draw upon our spiritual beliefs and our God, you know, to.
I can't imagine not having the faith in God and having God in my life forever, not trying to get through that stuff. You know, and my sister, that's the thing when you said people get angry with God. And my sister said, I'm kind of angry because they've had a prayer vigil the night before they found the car, and they were all hopeful, you know, they were all hoping for a miracle, and then it didn't happen, and so she was angry. I said, that's normal.
Yeah,
it's normal as long as you know that God didn't do that.
Yeah,
but it's normal to be angry. Sure it is.
And the fact that you got closure at least on the body.
Yes.
If her body had never been discovered, they would have never gotten closure.
Oh.
And yeah, that's really painful. Hey, you can't fathom that, and I can't either. I just know it because of what I've had to deal with my work. And that was a prayer answered. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be an idiot or bad person by saying they have a vigil and then later on they discover she was okay in the river, whatever. Okay. Well then that's a prayer answered. And now, you know, you get to grieve the loss, you know, not what you wanted to happen. Of course not. Oh man. I hate to be the armchair quarterback on these death situations. So
well, I know that my sister and my brother-in-law took it real rough. They'll grieve. They're going to go through that quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
If it ever gets over. But as far as the suicide part, to me, you know, I was in law enforcement, too. So I guess I deal with that a little differently. I saw a lot of it, you know, or not a lot, but I saw all I want to see.
Right. And that's just it. I know, and you know, that anything can happen at any time to anyone, period. Nobody's exempt from that. Not you, not me. You know what I mean? Like, if they said, man, you know, Wayne drove a Suburban or Yukon into Grapevine Lake, I'd be, oh my God. You know what I mean? Either it was this or this. I mean, anyway, I mean, or Bruce, you know, drove into a 18-wheeler on South Lake Boulevard or something. So, I mean, it just, anything can happen to anybody at any given time. And when it doesn't make sense, people try to take control of the situation. Sometimes you can't. So it's like, oh my God, but she was just praying that day. I'm not saying that this happened, by the way. She was so happy when she left. How could she have such a turn of events?
One night about 12:30, I came upon an accident. The road turned and the car didn't. And it was like a brand new Trans Am or Camaro or something. Mm-hmm. Kid worked at Kroger, teenager, nice new car, driving home from work, and he hit at one of those lovely live oak trees. And I believe you could have measured between the headlights, dead center into the.
Oh wow! Yeah, right.
And he looked perfect sitting there in that car, but he was graveyard dead. I think it was internal injuries in the chest,
right.
But everything was perfect. But that's how quickly things happen. You know, he was a star football player. And,
right.
You know, you read about things like this and you can get angry and you can ask God, why? Well,
I'll share this. One time my son was in an auto accident and it was underneath, it's right there off of Interstate 35W north of Fort Worth. I forget the exit, but there's these pylons that support the freeway. And his Honda went right in between them. Ooh. I mean, if he would have gone left or right, he would have been just that fellow you described. And anyway, I took pictures of it. And you know, that's just one of those God moments where it's like, yeah, that wasn't his time, you know, because on the roll of a die, he probably should have. Anyhow, but yeah, so what we used to do is when an inmate hung themselves, we would do a psychological autopsy and we'd rewind the last week of the person, every phone call, every piece of mail, every human interaction, every meal. And we could literally go back 4, 5, 6 days and really construct, right? Because we have to explain this in the Federal Bureau of Prisons if somebody hangs themselves, right? It's just not like, oh, well, we walk away. So we have to learn from these things. And many times it was bad interactions with family members or spouses or, you know. Yeah, then they said, you know what? And actually, we've incarcerated some of these spouses that say, hey, you might as well kill yourself. You're no good to me anyway. Hey, you had some life insurance. You're not getting out for another 30 years. So just help me and the kids out. Or just mean, you know, hey, you're just being mean. But oftentimes it was that, or I had a couple of HIV positive people back in the day when the treatment wasn't so good. Some terminally ill folks. Yeah, because we got to rule out suicide versus homicide, right? And you know that being a cop, former, you know, does they take their own life or does somebody take their life, you know? And so we have to really knuckle down on that. Anyway, long story short, right, that anything can happen to anybody at any time. Not that it's just, yeah, sometimes things happen like that. I like that thing about that young man. That was, like you said, he just aimed his car just perfect.
Well, I'm not so sure he aimed it. Because it was a sharp turn in the road. He was going at a high rate of speed, you know, going home from work. And he probably, it was an accident, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was just, you could have measured. It was just, everything was looked so,
yeah,
it didn't look real.
Sometimes that'd be the hard sermon. That'd be the hard family member. God took him. Like, I don't know about that. Anyway, But yeah, well, I'm glad that, you know, you were still, regardless, I know you're coming back. There he is. I'm glad you were there for your family and you're able to represent and be there. So I know you froze up a little bit there, Wayne. Either you froze up or I froze up. So I'll just kind of keep going. So yeah. Anyway, isn't that interesting? You know, things that take us. There are things that happen in our lives that kind of bring us down to our core. And when we're done with who we are as a core, we rely on our spiritual beliefs and practices to help get us through. But also we can rely on others to help get us through, right? That's why we always want people to have a network of friends, a network of family, professionals, anybody, you know, friends, associates, family, anybody. So you don't have to walk this path alone, you know. Sure, I know it's one thing to say God is with you, right? But it's also good to have other live human beings there with you to help you go through a trial in your life. And so yeah, I can't underestimate the value of that. And so I'm glad that Wayne was able to share those things. And, you know, I'm glad that God put him in a place that he was able to, right? He was up there and he was able to attend these functions one after the other. And it worked out for him to be able to be there and be there for family members. And I think that's a spiritual thing as well. I mean, something that not to be minimized or not to be overlooked in any way. So if anybody out there suffering from grief or loss and needs to get some resources or counseling or coaching, yeah, feel free to reach out to myself. And if you're out of state, then I know I have a network of providers in different states, so maybe we can connect you with somebody. If you're here in Texas or whatever, give me a call and we can talk about what your need may be and how we may be able to assist you to go through that, you know, because I know I'm going to look at my stuff here. Let's see how much time we have left. 7 minutes. So yeah, and I know that many of you get somebody passes away or somebody dies and people are uncomfortable with it and they'll say stuff. There he is.
Sorry.
It's okay, man. And they'll stay. I was just talking about how when people pass away and they're uncomfortable with it and they'll have these terrible things to say, like, you know, she's up in heaven and streets made of gold. That's where she is right now.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
And you know what? That's not real comforting.
No.
You know what I mean?
That is so true. That is so true.
How do you think? And that's the best you got?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about me? What am I doing? You know, I'm sitting here left with this. I'm with the consequences, the family members, the little kid. The fallout from that, you know, and because she's in streets of gold, like, I'm good.
Yeah. And there is fallout. There is fallout.
And I'm not bagging on the people who say that, because I know why they say that, because they don't have anything of any substance to say other than that. So,
yep.
Oh, well. At least you got two other kids. Gee whiz. Oh, my gosh. And there's people that say that, Wayne.
Yeah, I know. I've heard them.
They got two more. Maybe they weren't guys.
Or, you know, when they're going by the viewing, if there's a viewing, he looks so natural. What do you mean, man?
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Death Fails, the Death Fail compilation, you know, and just so.
I had a guy in Salamaster when I first started, Bruce, and I know we got to wind this up, but
we got 4 minutes just for you.
This guy, he had it memorized, though. He was a minister. And it impressed me so much. And I was in my 20s. And I asked him if he could recite it for me, and I wrote it down every word. But it's, I saw God wash the world. And I'd like to say that if I could. I saw God wash the world last night with his sweet showers on high. And then when morning came, I saw him hang it out to dry. He washed each slender blade of grass and every trembling tree. He flung his showers against the hills and swept the rolling sea. The white rose is a deeper white, the red a richer red, since God washed every fragrant face and put them all to bed. There's not a bird, there's not a bee that wings along the way, but a cleaner bird and bee than it was yesterday. I saw God, yes, I saw God wash the world last night. Ah, would he had washed me as clean of all my dust and dirt as that old white birch tree. So, I was 21 when I heard that. And I don't know why, but all these years, that still stuck as one of my favorite little poems. And there's a lot of truth to it.
Absolutely.
It's just that it meant a lot to me. He just said it at a convention, standing at the lectern, banquet night or something, and it just got me.
No, man. That's amazing. That's hey, I love it, man. That's good. Yeah.
Well, thank you for, you know, I'm glad you said, let's do it today.
I'm glad. That you weren't going to get out that easy.
I'm glad. I'm glad, my friend.
You still owe me lunch, though.
We'll get to that right away, too. We got to get her done.
Oh, yes, sir. That was good, man. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing today. You know, I'm glad that we talked about this. I'm glad. You know, people just don't want to talk about death. I certainly, you know, it is not my topic of choice. Hell is not my topic of choice. I mean, there's other things. Diseases and other stuff. But I'm glad that we talked about that. And we talked about it in the frame of your experience, what you had to go through, and how I was telling the viewers that when you were out there, I was so blessed. You're so blessed to have been up there in that sequence. You know. You got to be there for your family members. Anyhow, I think that's a blessing. I don't know.
I do too. I do too.
It's beyond coincidence, I guess. I'm saying, and
I agree.
And so I'm glad for that. And I see that's a good thing in the midst of. Yes, you've got put grief on your heart, but at least you were there to be with family. So anyway, I just put that at a premium. When people are able to be there with family or with the families of the lost, whoever was dead. So anyhow, well, folks, a somber, but another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Please come by our Apple Podcast and iHeartRadio site. I am actually caught up with the show summaries. Thank you, Sam and Ronan. And so all those are out there. This show will get caught up at some point. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And we have our Facebook on Concierge Coaches Show. We have our Instagram at concierge_coaches. And Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
There it is. Well, so there it is, folks. So until next time, have a great week, blessed week, safe week, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Have a happy
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on Talk Radio.